Psalm 23. We started looking a little while ago at the topic of mercy and grace. We'll continue looking at mercy and grace today, and we looked at the thing that I was particularly interested in looking at in order to bless our lives more is to understand that mercy and grace, you don't earn mercy, you don't earn grace. Sometimes, again, just a review, we talked about cause and effect. You know, a lot of times we think that everything that happens to us is a result of something we did or didn't do. And when I was looking at God's word at mercy and grace, first, mercy is pretty easy, because in order to receive mercy, you got to do something wrong. I can do that. it's where God withholds what you probably should have gotten, right? But grace, on the other hand, it's not like you can say, well, I did a lot of things this week for you, Father, therefore, would you give me this much grace? And it's not like that at all. So when we see mercy and grace in God's word, we see that, and thankfully that everything is in God's hands, not all, if we do silly things, consequences can occur. But even when we do silly things many times, God still takes care of us. So it should be very clear to us that it's not always cause and effect. It's just God's goodness to us. And a lot of times the word mercy is translated as goodness and kindness. Very related words, because when, people do something, let's say your child does something really, really silly. I know that never happens, but they do something really silly. And the parents go, it's okay, it's all right. That's mercy, it's goodness, it's kindness, and God is so much bigger than that. And we also saw how mercy and grace occur a lot of times together in the Word of God. We saw that as well. Let's go to Psalm 23, which I've asked you to go to, but I didn't go to. A psalm we probably know from memory. It says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's grace. You see, the first part of this is all grace, then we move to mercy. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, because I'm so wonderful. Right? No, it's not what it says, right? Oh, you're so wonderful. That makes more sense from my point of view. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You heard that in the manifestations three times today. Right? Not to have any fear in our lives. If we just believe that very thing that God says to us, my goodness, how much greater and blessed would our lives be, right? He says that, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're so clever? No, thou art with me. That's grace. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Look at the grace in this psalm. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This whole psalm is God's gracious blessings in our lives. Then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not because of what he had done or what he hadn't done, but because of God's goodness. Look at Psalm 25. We're right there. That's pretty easy. Verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Because mercy overlooks that stuff. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. See, he does not deal with us according to the things we do wrong. But he deals with us according to his, and here he even says it, goodness, and because of his great mercy. And as we'll see, as we're going through, we're going in order, as I mentioned last time, you'll see that as we get more and more towards the New Testament, how grace and mercy are really opened up even bigger. And yet in the Old Testament, it wasn't like it was minuscule, was it? It was amazing grace, amazing mercy. In verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenants and his testimonies. We also saw that last week where, when you walk with God, man, it just opens a door for so much more blessing. in Psalm 51. And we're not going to finish this today. There's just too much on this, but we'll just look at a few areas. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me. How about that? O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Twice. Mercy, tender mercies, have mercy upon me. Psalm 86. I had to skip a lot of uses of mercy here, because it's all over. Which is also an interesting statement. That means God sure is merciful. Because when I first learned God's word for a while, you know, I felt sometimes where you had to, you know, if you weren't careful in certain areas, you know, you had to stay away from this, you know, good things to stay away from, mind you, and all that, but that then you'd get these blessings or this wouldn't happen. Or I kind of felt that my life was, you know, you finally learned about freedom of will and now your life is sort of in your control from one point of view. But really, it's God's blessings and mercy and grace that undergird you in every situation. So, you know, realize that, yeah, you can do things or not do things, but God still does things. He always is there. He always is merciful. He's always gracious. You know, it's a real release in life not to recognize that the blessings in your life aren't tied to all the actions you do in life. It's just not that way. There's a balance there, obviously, but just trying to understand, to help you explain that when we look at mercy and grace, it's not like, you know, he does it for those people who are really, really walking tightly for him. Even says in the Word of God that he's good even to those who don't believe, right? Unbelievers. Isn't that what it says? Right? Kind. He's also kind to the unthankful. Right? Well, what if you walk with him? Wow, you know, what a blessing. In Psalm 86, verse 14, it says, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. He's gracious and he's merciful. Now, again, two aspects. There's a lot more. We're just looking at those two aspects. Look at Psalm 103. Getting ahead of myself. Psalm 103. And we'll go to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and by the way, plenteous in mercy. You know, he might be trying to make a point here. As soon as you say someone's merciful, he's merciful. Well, he's also plenteous in mercy, by the way. I think maybe God had in his mind that these people will make a lot of mistakes. So I'm going to be very merciful. I don't know. It seems that way to me. Don't worry, bud. I'm merciful. In verse 11, it says, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear or reverence him. How high is the heaven above the earth? Right. There's no end, right? That's how great his mercy is. In verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Another way of saying it. Look at all the ways God says it. Everlasting to everlasting upon them that reverence him, and his righteousness unto children's children. That's nice. In Psalm 136, we have to read this one. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That's fantastic. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders. Just him, okay? He's the one. For his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. And why would God have this recorded about him? I think he's trying to make a point in this psalm here. I'm only in verse 9 yet. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Did it ever occur to you that God did all those wonderful things for his people because he's merciful? To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. This is an easy psalm to retemorize. The second part's pretty easy. Right. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, in case you forgot, for his mercy endureth forever. Wow, what a psalm. You know, God is merciful, and I am thankful for his mercy. We ought to be always thankful for his mercy. You think that there might be a chance, if this is the Old Testament, that we have a chance to partake in his grace and mercy today after all the work that Jesus Christ has accomplished? You know, sometimes you wonder, you wake up on a regular day and you're going about your business and, you know, it's been whatever, it's sunny or raining or whatever's happening. You know, you have food to eat, you have clothes to wear, you know, we have fellowship with like-minded believers. People love one another. We're part of the greatest family on the face of the earth. And there's just no cause for us not to be unthankful every single day. And all this, I always say, guys, you know, I don't even know how you do this. I don't know how you do this for us. I don't, you know, you can just get so thankful some days. You're just so blessed. I don't even know why. It's okay. I guess you don't have to have a reason. Because it's God. His mercy endures forever. He's just always there. Psalm 145. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. I think we read that before. Lamentations chapter 3. All right, we'll leave Psalms. There's just way too much in Psalms. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Lamentations chapter 3. That wonderful song we always sing. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You hear that in the back of your mind now, right? You want to sing the rest of it now? Because of his mercy, they're not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. God is always compassionate. Jonah, here's the one that Grace mentioned last week. Had to read it, right? In Jonah chapter 4. Where are we? Oh, Jonah. Chapter 4. I mean, you remember the record, right? We'll just read the verse. Jonah 4:2. let's read verse 1 too. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And this is when Nineveh had repented because of his preaching. And he prayed again unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a great, gracious God and merciful, slow to anger. He must have read the Psalms. This is from the Psalms. Right? And of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And that's what he said. That's interesting. You know, he said, I went to Tarshish because I knew that if I preached, you would be gracious and merciful. How dare you, God, be merciful and gracious? Okay. You can almost see him like saying that way, right? You know, what an interesting statement for Jonah to make. Right? Are we so convinced of God's mercy and grace every single day? As he was obviously convinced. He was so convinced, he disobeyed God and went the other direction. Right? That's how convinced he was of God's graciousness and his mercy. So I knew that they just turned towards you. I knew you were going to forgive them. So I was doing everything I can to make sure they didn't hear the word. Luke chapter 1. Let's move to the New Testament. Or at least the Gospels anyway. Luke chapter 1. Actually, can we just go to Micah for a second? Let's go to Micah. I want to skip this one. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We're to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We're to love mercy. God sure loves mercy. Luke chapter 1. Now we'll go to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read in verse 41. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And we're talking about John the Baptist and Jesus Christ here. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Just like it said in the Old Testament. You know, we're going to see that Jesus Christ, you know, and the way for Jesus Christ being paved by John the Baptist was going to be one of the perfect expression of grace and mercy to his people was the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't quite get there today, but this is paving the way for that. Verse 50 again. And his mercy is great, is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shown great mercy upon her, and they rejoice with her. You see how mercy and grace is going to be involved in the births of John the Baptist and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, verse 59, that on the 8th day that they came to circumcise a child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, No, not so, but we're going to call him John. They said unto her, There is none of thy kindred in thy name, no one else. And she said, No, too bad. Verse 64, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them in their hearts, up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with them, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the day the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from them, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, 4 or 5 times in this section, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed, or sent, you know, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds. You want to see grace here? Abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Why? Because the shepherds were so wonderful, so good, they've done great things. God's grace and mercy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. He shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, Wow, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has showed us, hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him. You want to see mercy and grace here? Look at the grace of God upon these two people. Unto him by the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all Israel, of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said, Mary, his mother, and said unto Mary's mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all those things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We'll close in John chapter 1. Wonderful mercy and great grace surrounding the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, we saw in the Old Testament that, you know, Israel was not denied God's mercy and God's grace. There was wonderful mercy, wonderful grace given to Israel and the people in the Old Testament. And yet it says in John chapter 1, verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus Christ, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, we saw grace, we saw truth, we saw mercy in the Old Testament, and yet God says that with the birth of Jesus Christ, we were given grace. So what grace and mercy must have come by the birth of Jesus Christ? What was it that came that was even so much greater than what Israel had, right? Real grace, real mercy came by Jesus Christ. He was the Word in the flesh. He was the one who declared God. Many called on Jesus Christ, you'll see throughout the Gospels, for mercy. How many people did men say to him, Have mercy on me? What did he do? He gave them mercy. His life was a walk of mercy. Right from the time of his birth, the grace of God was upon him. His walk was a walk of mercy and the grace of God. Why did he show mercy? Because he said, I always do those things that please the Father. It must have pleased the Father to show mercy by way of Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue next time, in a few weeks, to look at the grace and mercy and truth that came by way of Jesus Christ, and how much we are so much more blessed than they were. And yet we've seen great blessings to his people in the Old Testament, right, in the times of the Gospels. So that's where we'll stop today. Couldn't do it in one day. Right? But...